Jerry Bader Show 950 to further confuse things. But just to be clear, Jason, go to the top of this page. Let's see. A postseason. This is specific reference to the postseason rules, Jason. In the overtime modified sudden death format in the regular season. Yeah, that in terms of you each getting a possession. I agree, though. Jason is at the NFL.com overtime rules, and it is confusing. It doesn't distinguish that in regular season. Here's a look at the NFL's overtime procedures for both the regular season and playoffs under the new decision. Okay, if you read that, it says this. Following a three-minute intermission after the end of the regulation game, play will be continued in 15-minute periods until a winner is declared. That's what it says at NFL.com. It does. It's right there. But that's not right. It is. What they've done there, it looks like, is they've muddied the postseason and the regular season, is the way that it looks to me. Ask the Packers. You don't play another one after five. Or maybe the refs got it wrong and you do. All right, enough of that. Last half hour, we talked with Senator Ron Johnson about a lot of things. I want to spend some time on one of them, and that is the horrible, horrible weekend accord with Iran on development of nuclear development, that is. I want to share this with you. I shared a little piece of it when Senator Johnson was on with us. Today's Wall Street Journal, actually, this was published online last night. It's in today's print edition of the Wall Street Journal. Iran's nuclear triumph. That's the name of it. Iran's nuclear triumph. President Obama is hailing a weekend accord that he says has halted the progress of the Iranian nuclear program, and we devoutly wish this were true. The reality is the agreement in Geneva with five Western nations takes Iran a giant step closer to becoming a de facto nuclear power. Start with the fact that this interim accord fails to meet the terms of several UN resolutions which specify no sanctions relief until Iran suspends all uranium enrichment. Under this deal, Iran gets sanctions relief, but it doesn't have to give up its centrifuges that enrich uranium, does not have to stop enriching, does not have to transfer control of its enrichment stockpiles, and does not have to shut down its plutonium reactor. Mr. Obama's weekend statement glossed over these canyon-sized holes. He said, Iran cannot install or start up new centrifuges. But it already has about 10,000 operational centrifuges that it can continue to spin for at least another 6 months. Why does Tehran need so many centrifuges if not to make a bomb at the time it pleases? The president also said that Iran is committed to halting certain levels of enrichment and neutralizing part of its stockpiles. He's referring to an Iranian pledge to oxidize its 20% enriched uranium stockpile. But this, too, is less than reassuring because the process can be reversed and Iran retains a capability to enrich 5%, which used to be a threshold we didn't accept because it can easily be reconverted to 20%. Mr. Obama said Iran will halt work at its plutonium reactor, but Iran has only promised not to fuel the reactor, even as it can continue other work at the site. That is far from dismantling what is nothing more than a bomb factory. North Korea made similar promises in a similar deal with Condoleezza Rice during the final Bush years, but it quickly returned to bomb-making. By the way, a lesson that both sides can screw this up. As for inspections, Mr. Obama hailed extensive access that will allow the international community to verify whether Iran is keeping its commitments. One problem is that Iran hasn't ratified the additional protocol to its International Atomic Energy Agency agreement that would allow inspections on demand at such sites as Parchin, which remains off limits. Iran also could oust UN inspectors at any time, much as North Korea did. Then there's the sanctions relief, which Mr. Obama says is only modest, but which reverses years of U.S. diplomacy to tighten and enforce them. The message is that the sanctions era is over. The loosening of the oil regime is especially pernicious, inviting China, India, and Germany to get back to business with Iran. We are told that all of these issues will be negotiated as part of a final accord in the next 6 months. But that's not how arms control works. It is far more likely that this accord will set a precedent for a series of temporary deals in which the West will gradually ease more sanctions in return for fewer Iranian concessions. Iran will threaten to walk away from the talks without new concessions, and Mr. Obama will not want to acknowledge that his diplomatic achievement wasn't real. The history of arms control is that once it is underway, the process dominates over substance. Process over substance, and a Western leader who calls a halt is denounced for risking war. The negotiating advantage lies with the dictatorship that can ignore domestic opinion. Mr. Obama all but admitted this himself by noting that only diplomacy can bring about a durable solution to the challenge posed by Iran's nuclear program. He added that I have profound responsibility to try to resolve our differences peacefully rather than rush towards conflict. Rush to conflict? Iran's covert nuclear program was uncovered a decade ago, and the West has been desperately trying to avoid military action. The best that can be said is that the weekend deal slows for a few weeks Iran's rapid progress to a nuclear breakout. But the price is that, at best, it sets a standard that will allow Iran to become a nuclear-capable regime that stops just short of exploding a bomb. At worst, it will allow Iran to continue to cheat and explode a bomb whenever it is strategically convenient to serve its goal of dominating the Middle East. This seems to be the conclusion in Tehran, where Foreign Minister Zarif boasted that the deal recognizes Iran's right to enrich uranium while taking the threat of Western military action off the table. Grand Ayatollah Ali Khamenei also vouchsafed his approval only days after he denounced the U.S. and called Jews rabid dogs. Israel has a different view of the deal, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calling it a historic mistake. He and his cabinet will now have to make their own calculations about the risks of unilateral military action. Far from having Israel's back, as Mr. Obama likes to say, the U.S. and Europe are moving to a strategy of trying to contain Israel rather than containing Iran. The French also fell into line, as we feared they would, under the U.S. and media pressure. Mr. Obama seems determined to press ahead with an Iran deal regardless of details or damage. He views it as a legacy project. Yeah. He views it as his legacy. This is what he does. It's the same thing with Syria. Yeah, but we didn't have to use military action. So it's all good. It's fine. Israel, meanwhile, their chances of having to use unilateral military action have just increased probably tenfold. It's 9:58.
Jerry Bader, JerryBaderShow.com.